You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The U.S. House Oversight Committee will hold its first hearing on the impeachment inquiry of President Biden next week. House Republicans are accusing the president of improperly benefiting from his son Hunter Biden's foreign business dealings while Joe Biden was vice president. So far, they have yet to produce evidence of wrongdoing or direct financial benefit for the president. But House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says the impeachment inquiry will allow them to investigate more fully.
Today, I am directing our House committee to open a formal impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden. This logical next step will give our committees the full power to gather all the facts and answers for the American public. That's exactly what we want to know, the answers. I believe the president would want to answer these questions and allegations as well.
The House committee says the first hearing next week will focus on constitutional and legal questions surrounding the president, and they are subpoenaing bank records of Biden's son Hunter Biden and his brother James Biden. The White House has called the impeachment inquiry baseless and a political stunt. Our next guest is here to help us preview the hearing and how the impeachment inquiry could unfold with the threat of a government shutdown just days away. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you support this impeachment inquiry into President Biden? Why or why not? What, if anything, do you hope comes out of it? What questions do you have about how this all works? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Susan Johnson is an associate professor of political science and associate dean in the College of Letters and Sciences at UW-Whitewater. Susan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're hearing the I word, impeachment, a lot lately here in Wisconsin and now in the U.S. Congress again. Can you briefly remind us, when we're talking about a president or other federal official, how does this impeachment process work?
So it is the Constitution very succinctly indicates that for high crimes and misdemeanors, there is the opportunity to remove federal officials from office using this impeachment process. And as we know, it has been used quite infrequently at the presidential level, although in the past few decades, it's been used more commonly. So those people who are, you know, were born in the 80s and beyond, or even the 70s and beyond, would think about this as maybe something that's more common than, in fact, it was historically when there had only been one impeachment and not removal. And so it's an interesting time that now we had a presidential impeachment in 2019 and then 2021, and now we're in 2023 and we're talking about potentially another one.
Can you talk about the basis being offered by House Republicans for, you know, why opening an impeachment inquiry against President Biden and why now?
Well, I think it's interesting because unlike prior impeachments where there has been something quite tangible that has led to the opening of an inquiry, what we're finding in this instance is that it's much more amorphous. House Republicans have been investigating President Biden and his family now for a while in regard to what may have happened between President Biden when he was then Vice President Biden and influence that may have been exerted by his son, Hunter Biden, in some of his business dealings with Ukraine and China. And so it's important to understand that there have been hearings ongoing in Congress, and they've yet to really unearth anything, quote unquote, smoking gun, that would normally then initiate impeachment hearings.
Right. We've had House Republican-led committees doing these investigations. We heard Speaker McCarthy there saying this will give the committee the full power to gather facts. Are there things that House committees can do under the auspices of an impeachment inquiry that they couldn't do without that?
They can make requests to the White House for information and things like that. It just has more weight when we're thinking about impeachment. And so in that regard, there are certain liberties that they can take that the White House will feel compelled to respond to that they might otherwise not have felt compelled to respond to if during just this investigation. But then I think it's also probably more important to recognize that there's the political implications from holding impeachment hearings versus just investigatory hearings, because impeachment carries with it a certain weightiness that investigation doesn't.
And the accusations here, especially from the president and his supporters, is that this is a political act with the 2024 elections in mind. What do you make of that response from the president and his supporters?
I think that it is something being done with politics in mind. I think that also it is much more proximate to what's happening with the potential government shutdown at the end of the month and some of the promises that Speaker McCarthy made to members of his caucus in order to get their support to finally be elected speaker back in when he went up for speaker, and we had so long before he was actually elected. And then I think on top of that, there's also this idea, and I mentioned it before, that we've had two impeachment hearings in the past few years. And so it's just not, I guess it's not uncommon anymore. And it's also important to note that ideas about inquiries into impeachment were introduced on the first day of the new Congress by, for example, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, and others have been talking about impeachment now since the Republicans took control of the House.
Talking to Susan Johnson, political scientist at UW-Whitewater, talking about the launching of an impeachment inquiry by House Republicans targeting President Biden. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your reactions, your questions. Chris joins us now in Menominee. Chris, hi.
Hi. So my question is, how can this be an actual impeachment, if you want to call it that, without going to the floor for a full vote in the House?
Chris, thanks for the call. There's been debate over this, Susan, both in this one and in the impeachment inquiry proceedings going forward against former President Trump. The question of, does the House need to vote to launch an inquiry in the first place? How is that all shaken out?
Yeah, so that's a very interesting question that Chris raises. And historically, again, in past impeachments, there was a vote on the floor of the House to launch this inquiry. Then in 2019, when there was the first attempt, the first impeachment of President Trump and the attempt to remove him, there initially was no vote on the floor of the House. And many people surmise that to be because there were some Democrats who didn't want to take that vote, and Nancy Pelosi, as Speaker at the time, was trying to protect them. So there was a lot of pressure, and then ultimately, shortly after calling for the investigation, she then did hold a vote on the floor of the House, and all but two Democrats, I believe, supported that. In 2021, in former President Trump's second impeachment, there was no vote. But the interesting thing that happened between 2019 and 2021 is that the Trump Department of Justice issued a directive or a ruling that said that it would not be appropriate or correct or valid. It would not be a valid impeachment inquiry if there was not a vote on the floor of the House. So that has been something that Republicans have spoken about a lot in regard to particularly the 2021 impeachment hearings. And so it's interesting, ironic, or whatever, you know, word you want to use, that now Speaker McCarthy is moving forward without something that he pushed for quite strongly.
We're talking to UW-Whitewater political science professor Susan Johnson about the impeachment inquiry into President Biden ahead of the first House committee hearing on that next week. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about that decision to launch this impeachment inquiry into President Biden? What do you think about the politics connected to it? Join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Susan Johnson, political science professor and associate dean at UW-Whitewater. She's with us to look ahead to next week's House committee hearing on the impeachment inquiry into President Biden. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the decision by House Republicans to launch the inquiry? What questions do you have about how it works, why it's happening now, how it might play into the potential for a government shutdown? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls. Basil is with us on the Menominee Reservation. Basil, hello.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call. My language, it's Matchwaiwanan Kaitananamua. Okay.
And what did you want to bring up, Basil?
Well, I've been watching this, you know, quite closely, and I've been watching, you know, as far as the 15 rounds that McCarthy had to go, 15 times they had to, you know, vote for him to become speaker in the first place. And there's a group of Republicans, and I don't like to use the bad words that people use regarding, you know, these people that are fighting against everything. To me, being a veteran, being a person, being a small business owner, being a trucker, you know, I may be paying a little bit more for fuel nowadays and everything like that, but I'm going to tell you something. These people right here, they have to – McCarthy, it seems to me, is stuck in the middle of things. He has to do something for them. He has to throw them a bone and do this impeachment inquiry. Otherwise, they're gonna be looking at him, and they're gonna be one guy, one person, one female, one person can jump up and call for his speakership.
Basil, thanks a lot for the call, Susan. You touched on that briefly. Can you talk a little more about the politics within the Republican House Caucus that, as Basil points out, have Speaker McCarthy in a tight spot?
Yeah, many people are curious that it's been this long that Speaker McCarthy has faced such a challenge in regard to people who are, they're openly threatening him. So, for example, Congressperson Matt Gaetz from Florida has been openly taunting Speaker McCarthy with threats about calling to vacate the chair and, you know, not being satisfied even with calling for the inquiry. So, there's a lot of politics involved. And again, like as I alluded to earlier, we've got 2024, we have the potential shutdown of the government and so many other things that are going on right now. And, one thing that's important to point out is that just because an inquiry has been launched doesn't mean that we will ever get to the point where there's a formal vote even for impeachment or articles of impeachment brought.
Thanks a lot for that call, Basil, at 800-642-1234. Willem joins us now in Colfax. Willem, hello.
Hi. I think the congressman that you've mentioned, part of the ironically called Freedom Coalition or whatever they are, they're all supporters of the former president, and they marched to his tune, and he said that he was going to be, you know, the vengeance president, the I am your retribution, all these things. And this is why they're doing this, because you know, Hunter Biden might be a problem for his father and his family, but no one elected him. He's not a member of the government, unlike Jared Kushner, who was a special advisor to the president of the United States. 2 days after the president left office, he got $2 billion from the Saudi royal fund. What's that about? Why don't we investigate that? I mean, these people, it's just about the big lie, and the big lie has always historically gotten people into trouble. Nothing good comes from this.
Willem, thanks a lot for the call. Susan Willem pointing toward the connection between supporters of impeachment here and former President Trump. And Willem says turning a blind eye to President Trump's family's dealings after coming out of serving in the White House.
Well, I think that a couple of things and that Willem sort of alluded to is that we're talking about things that potentially, even if they happened, took place while President Biden was Vice President Biden 10 years ago. And again, there's no solid evidence that anything happened. But as far as the investigation goes, the root is a long time ago. That is quite different than impeachment hearings more recently in the 20th and 21st century. Those were regarding events that happened while the person was in office. So that's a distinction. And then the other thing I would say is that absolutely, former President Trump has been very clear encouraging members of the Freedom Caucus and others to pursue these impeachment investigations.
Well, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Looking at the House Republican decision to launch an impeachment inquiry targeting President Biden, Susan Johnson is with us from UW-Whitewater, and you could join in at 800-642-1234 if you have thoughts, reactions, or questions for our guests. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Susan, I want to get into this government shutdown risk. Now, we have again and again in this last few days, really, before that deadline looms, votes that don't approve parts of the federal spending package while this impeachment inquiry is being launched, I should say. Why is the House having trouble passing anything on the budget?
Well, I mean, I think it goes back to, again, some of those same members in the House of Representatives, the Freedom Caucus, that some of our callers have referenced in their questions. And it's a similar group of people who are really digging in their heels in regard to what they're willing to go along with. There was a framework agreed to by President Biden and Speaker McCarthy months ago that had to do with the debt ceiling and other issues that we were dealing with prior. And so the framework of the spending had already been set, and then the job became to pass the spending bills necessary to then keep the government funded. And what's happening now is that the members of Speaker McCarthy's caucus who are balking are saying that they didn't agree to that framework, and they want a lot more cuts to be made than what had been agreed to. And what's interesting, and this is even some Republicans have been quite critical, is that even the defense authorization bill, which is usually a huge bipartisan win, can't get passed because of what's going on with a small number of House Republicans.
I want to get into potential political fallout, Susan. We don't have a lot of precedent to work with when it comes to impeachment inquiries, impeachment efforts. But what do you think about when you wonder, you know, who will this hurt? Republicans for pursuing an impeachment inquiry? Will it hurt President Biden in his election campaign? What are some of the things that could determine the answers to those questions?
I think that one of the things that will determine the impact of these hearings is how long will they go and what type of information will be put out there. And so I think that if it ultimately gets to the point where there are articles of impeachment brought and those are supported in the House by a majority, and then we have to go to a trial in the Senate, that's a very different political environment, particularly if this is going on into the election season, than if this investigation just, you know, wraps up, because we still don't know to what extent this is Kevin McCarthy, Speaker McCarthy, again, just trying to placate members of his caucus by allowing these hearings to go forward. And so I think that's a big issue for me, is in terms of what the fallout is going to be, is what actually happens from here.
And staying with the theme of political fallout, if we in fact have a partial government shutdown and we start to see some key services start to go undone. A lot of things still happen during a shutdown, but some things don't. How does the blame usually get assigned when we've been at this point in the past?
Republicans have not done well historically when the government has shut down. And that's generally, the party that is sort of leading the charge. And in this case, there's no doubt who is leading the charge. It isn't even the entirety of the Republican Party as much as it is a handful of members. But I think that if history holds, then we would see some blame laid out for the Republicans.
And Susan, I'd love to ask you this in our last minute or so, talking with your students about the latest current events. I know you like to do that. What kind of things are you emphasizing to them as we watch yet another, in recent history, yet another impeachment inquiry?
Well, I mean, again, for students, this is just par for the course. I mean, you think of, you know, college age students, this will be their third go round since they've been in high school. So it's just not as momentous, honestly, I think, as it is for you or I, but certainly, you know, paying keen attention to it nonetheless.
Susan, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Happy to do it.
That's Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science and Associate Dean in the College of Letters and Sciences at the University of Wisconsin, Whitewater. She joined us today to help preview next week's House committee hearing for the Republican-led impeachment inquiry into President Biden. You can follow reporting on that from our colleagues at NPR on our website, WPR.org.